May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 389. Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Make me love thy precious word. Bid me seek thy smiling face, willing to be saved by grace. Hymn 389.
Read together from God's holy word from the book of Job again, Job chapter 12. That is page 527 in the Bible Box Bibles, if you're joining with one of those. Job chapter 12. And Job answered and said, "No doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? I am as one mocked of his neighbour, who calleth upon God, and he answereth him. The just, upright man is laughed to scorn. He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. The tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? Doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength, he hath counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leadeth counsellors away spoiled, and maketh the judges fools. He looseth the bonds of kings, and girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled, and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty, and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes, and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth deep things out of darkness, and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth, and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. The Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, thou whom we have read of, and O Lord, do we know anything in our lives, in our experience of what we have read of thee, so that we can use that language and speak of what we know personally, of thy dealings, of thy hand toward the sons of men. We do seek, Lord, to humble ourselves under thy almighty and sovereign hand. For what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? O Lord, be pleased to have mercy upon us. Look upon us in thy beloved Son. Grant unto us thy grace, and grant unto us the blessings that come to us through Jesus' precious blood. For, Lord, we see in this world thy dealings and thy work, so much work. And yet, O Lord, we would that we might know not only that work, but that we might know that special saving work in our hearts. O Lord, do grant us to be amongst thy dear people who have the secret of the Lord, which is with them that fear him. O Lord, truly there are many, many things hidden from many in this world. But O Lord, do grant us to come to that core, central, blessed truths, eternal, saving truths of the everlasting gospel, and that we might know that thou hast revealed to us that secret and that mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh, the secret of the Lord. O Lord, do bless us with that revealed truth that shall profoundly touch our hearts, and affect our lives and unite us to those whom thou hast revealed those same truths to. O Lord, we do bring before thee this church and congregation again. Be pleased to grant thy blessing upon them here. Thou knowest they walk path and in the midst of tribulation, and that thou hast been pleased to use this for the soul's eternal good of each one here. Especially we do bring before thee our dear brother and sister in faith, to be with Benji and Lydia, to bless them, to be pleased to be with them, and be with each of the family, those that are here and those not here. And we do seek also to bring before thee our dear brother at Lamberhurst and his dear wife, to bless her and her soul, to her eternal comfort, to the joy of her husband, and, O Lord, to the working of grace in their children's hearts. And may it be that much thanksgiving goes up from many who have made petition on her behalf. O Lord, we do see that blessing above all other, that she might be given the assurance of her interest in thee, and that her loved ones know of it and hear of it. O Lord, we do seek grace for them and grace for the families here through that dark valley. And O Lord, be pleased to bring good out of it. Lord, thou didst turn Balaam's curse into a blessing. Thou hast turned the curse of the fall into a blessing. Turn these afflictions into blessings as well. O Lord, we do seek of thee, thou hast remembered each here. Do bless the church, be with their deacons, strengthen and guide them. Provide for the church and congregation here the pastor after thine own heart, if it could please thee. Incline their hearts to a man and a man to them. And Lord, do grant that thou hast blessed them with an under-shepherd. O Lord, we do seek that thou hast blessed the congregation, the children, the little ones, the rising generation. We thank thee for them. Do be with them. Do bless what they have learned in this Sunday school and what they shall learn. O Lord, do impress upon them those musts. Lord, do grant that they might remember them, and that they might partake of them. O Lord, we do seek that thou would remember them and teach them for good and those eternal realities while they are children. O give them a love to thy word. Give them a love to the house of God. Give them a love to their parents in the Lord. And do give them a love to the Church of God. O give them a love to the Lord Jesus Christ. O may it be that they are drawn by love to love, and that they might seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the throne of God on high. We do thank thee for those who know thee, those who have put thee on in open profession. We do pray for those who are exercised in their souls. We see, Lord, that those in bondage might be set at liberty, that those who are in darkness might be brought into thy marvellous light, but those are shut up that they might come forth and declare thy works towards them to thine honour and glory. And, O Lord, that thou hast remembered those that seek thee, that thou hast lead them on. Open thy word to them, thy truth to them. Fulfill thy promise that they that seek shall find. O Lord, we ask this for them. We ask this for those that are young and those that are older, that thou hast passed them not by except to bid them live and that thou hast bring into gospel liberty those who are yet not in it and are in bondage. We do pray for those where we feel to have lost our first love, where we often in darkness and bondage, we often mourn the corruptions within. O Lord, do save and deliver us. Let us not backslide. O leave us not to go back from serving thee. Do restore unto us a tender conscience, a fear of the Lord where it is become hardened or dulled. And do grant, Lord, that renewed appetite, a hunger and thirst after righteousness, a desire for the pure milk of the gospel. Lord, do grant unto us that desire for thine honour and glory in all that we do and all that we say. O, let not any other consideration eclipse that, but that everything that we might be doing, do all to the glory of God. O, that we might be those that show forth thy praise and that have an eye to that in all that we do and all that we say. O, do forgive us our many, many sins. Bless us with repentance. Bless us with that godly sorrow. Do bless us, Lord, with knowing again that precious blood that cleanseth from all sin. O Lord, we seek a renewed, close walk with thee, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads us to the Lamb. We pray, Lord, that thou hast given us, especially those of us who make profession of thy name, that we might be helpful to dear brethren in their afflictions. Do grant, Lord, that we might not be miserable comforters, but that thou hast granted us to be a help to them. O Lord, we seek that thou hast caused us to weep with them that weep, mourn with them that mourn. And Lord, yes, may we yet come those times we rejoice with those that do rejoice. But, O Lord, do grant that in whatever dispensation, whether sorrow or joy, we might be united, the church, the congregation here, united in love and union one with another. We thank thee where that exists. We pray it be maintained. We pray it be increased. Do deliver from the whisperer that separateth chief friends. Do grant, Lord, that we might be found one in the Lord. By this thou hast said, shall all men know that ye are my disciples indeed, in that ye love one another. O Lord, we do seek this blessing as we pray for the dear friends and brethren here. We pray that thou hast remember us at Cranbrook. Do bless thy servant that ministers amongst my own people this evening. Bless his ministry. Do bless the people in Cranbrook. And we pray that same blessing on those in Swavesey here. And Lord, the surrounding area. O Lord, again we bring before thee the need of those who have received thy word, that thou dost bless it to them. And, O Lord, we ask for that blessing to be upon thy word that goes forth. Now, O Lord, do be with us here. O Lord, be pleased to help us in preaching. Remember that set before us this morning. It hath pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Be pleased to bless our gathering and the preaching of the word this evening to that end. We do seek thy word might be a help, might be a blessing, might be food, might be a strengthening. That is, say to Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren, feed my sheep and feed my lambs. Help us to so do and do bless the word to that end. Be pleased to guide those that may seek direction at this time. In whatever way it is, we thank thee. If there are those whose prayer is, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We thank thee where there's a willingness to know and do thy will. Be pleased then to give thy word this evening, so it is received as from thee, a direction in the way that they should go. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. We plead that precious promise, and that thy word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We thank thee for our food, our raiment, every measure of health and strength, our homes, the freedom to worship and gather together in peace. We thank thee, Lord, for thy protection and care. We thank thee, Lord, for every blessing out of a deserved hell. And we thank thee for the word and the preaching of the word, for the church of God, for one another. And Lord, we thank thee for love one to another. Now, Lord, we ask thee these mercies, pleading the name and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us continue with hymn 1079. Eternal source of joys divine, to thee my soul aspires. Oh, could I say, the Lord is mine, 'tis all my soul desires. Hymn 1079.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to the portion we read, Job chapter 12, reading for our text, the latter part, really, of verse 9, and also the latter part of verse 14 is upon my spirit, so I'll give them both out. Verse 9, the hand of the Lord hath wrought this. The whole verse reads, who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this. And then in verse 14, he shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. And the whole of that verse reads, behold, he breaketh down, and he cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Specifically, the latter part of verse 9. Dear Job is in the furnace of his affliction here. And there's a very big difference here. His friends, they're his friends. They're walking with him as far as an outward way. But Job is in the affliction and they are not. They are looking on it outwardly. He is looking upon it as walking through it. How often that is the case in the church of God. That will be replicated many, many times. The thought that you will have a whole congregation and they're actually walking through the same trial at the same time is very seldom. Often there'll be the situation like here. One is outside of it, and the other one is right in it. The one's outside. They seem to see things and know things and be able to tell things to the one in the trial. But dear Job, he said, miserable comforters are ye all. Just the very book of Job and how it's laid out before us, and thinking at the end there, when the Lord spoke to the three friends and said that he would accept Job, though to bring a sacrifice, he would offer it, he would pray for them. And the Lord, he blessed Job, gave him his liberty when he prayed for his friends. But the Lord took Job's part. And though there were many things that Job's friends said that were right, there were many things that were misapplied. And they weren't a feeling help. And we should always be very careful how we speak to those, act towards those in any trial, when they're in distress, physically, mentally, spiritually. It's seldom that we can actually say we have walked exactly in that path that they have walked. Well, Job's friends here, they had had much to say. Job answers them in this chapter, and he says that he knows these things. He could say the same as them. They did not know any more than he did. They were despising him. They were lifting up against him. And why they were in the situation where he was not, as it were, that they were able to look upon another. He says, he that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamb despised in the thought of him that is at ease. And we have this contrast between the two in that way. And he says, I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? And I say this, there is on one level where the people of God may know those same truths, but then the Lord begins to deepen a work and bring another into knowing truths that are underlying and deeper than that. They were able to speak of the creation. They were able to speak of the things that God was doing. But when God is dealing with the soul and he's dealing with the heart, then the power of God is the same, but it's acting in a different way, and he's acting in a personal way in that soul. And they're beginning to know about God that they won't know otherwise. You know, we can, and it's a great blessing if we can be a believer in the creation, and we can point to the beasts of the earth and those things that are made and see that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this and that he hath done those things. But then there'll be things that the Lord will open up to us. And yes, you might say, well, the Lord has done all things, everything. There's nothing that comes by chance. The Lord's hand is in everything. But do we really believe that? And especially when it comes to adverse things and things that are contrary things, it is the thought, can ever God dwell here? Remember an account that comes to mind, I mentioned it, of I don't know who it was, but it was a member of a congregation of a pastor, and they had a car accident, and they were in hospital. And he went quickly to the hospital and he tried to assure them. He said, don't worry, God had nothing to do with it. It wasn't God's hand at all. He had nothing to do with it. And in his mind as a pastor, this was comforting this person. The obvious message that he preached was God was a God of love. And this was happening, didn't fit into his preaching or his plan. So God didn't have anything to do with it. But if God didn't, who did? Who was in control then? Satan? Or chance? Or the other driver? Or him? What miserable comfort that would have been. And we can think, yes, God is in control of all things until something happens. And then we think, is God really in control of that? Or are we offended at God's hand in this? Are we offended that he should allow it or do that or permit that or bring that? And so it's only when we come into these paths and we know with the book of Job what Satan desired to do, and Satan had to have permission by the Lord. He couldn't just do what he wanted. Yes, he was permitted to touch him in great ways, but forbidden to take his life. And the Lord upheld Job by his grace. But the path, the Lord knew it. And it was an appointed path. A path that he walked down, painful in his soul, that entered into his soul. And when he has to cry out, oh, that I knew where I might find him, come even unto his seed, we find him in a place where he can't even find his God. And where he loses all these things outwardly. And then on top of that, he has the accusations of his friends. And then he has his own heart and own feelings to deal with as well. And so though Job is able to say to his friends these things, these outward things, yes, the hand of God is on all these. But what about other things? Even if we went to the beasts of the earth and the fowls of the air, And we had to ask them and see what's in their lives. See what they go through because of sin, because of man's sin. All of the blood shed in the animal kingdom, the death. All of what happens in their lives. And all what happens in ours. What a change sin has wrought in the creation. Paul, when he writes the Romans, he says this, the whole creation groaneth together until now. It all groans under the weight of sin. One day there shall be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and all shall be renewed. There shall be no more sin. It's impossible for us to even think of what the new creation should be without death, without sin, without the devil, everything perfecting. But here below, we have God's creation marred by sin, but God in control and God using those things that seem to be so contrary, and yet using it for good, and God's hand in it. Not just as a bystander permitting it, but causing it to come. He causeth it to come. And so in the word of our text, the hand of the Lord hath wrought this. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this, but even more. And he goes later on in the many different ways of the hand of the Lord. But the point I want to make is that it is in trials, it is in contrary things that we are to understand the hand of the Lord more than in any other time, more than in time of peace and quietness and blessings. It is in the adversities and tribulations. That is why the Lord says, in me ye shall have peace, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Those tribulations we must have. But the hymn writer says, tribulation working right produce a patient mind. But remember, our Lord was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and knew sorrow, knew distress more than any man. But the people of God are to walk this path and then be able to understand more the wonderful working of God, turning what sin has marred into that which is a real blessing. The other verse here that is upon my spirit, I want to bring them both really together. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. This is very obvious in a literal way through Scripture. We think of the case with Noah, and the Lord brought the flood upon the earth, and he shut up not just Noah, but all his family. The Lord shut him in. And there was no opening until the flood was gone, the waters were dried, and Noah could come out again. And it's not hard for us to see there that actually Noah's being shut in was a blessing. The fact that he did not have liberty, the fact that the waters could not come in, and of course the ark is a beautiful type of Christ, in a way it's a beautiful type of what shall be at the end of the world, when the world shall be destroyed by fire and the Lord's people shall be safe with the Lord. But Noah and those that were in the ark were shut in, and they were safe there. The Lord shut him in. But there's been times since that the Lord has seen fit to shut in his people. We think of Joseph's hand. Joseph had dreams and an intimation God was to do things in his life. He told those dreams to his brothers. His brothers hated them because of it. And then he does his father's bidding, and his brothers throw him into a pit and then sell him. And there he is, as far as Jacob is concerned, his son is dead. And in that matter, you might say with Jacob, he shut up a man. I don't think Jacob ever prayed for his son those 20 years. He thought he was dead. But Joseph, we read in Psalm 105, until his time came, the word of the Lord tried him. And especially when it comes to that latter part of his trial, when he is in the prison, and he's able to interpret the dreams of the butler, the baker, and then the expectation that the butler would speak on his behalf and he'd be brought up out of prison. But Joseph remained shut up in prison, literally so. He was in that path in providence and in that place until the Lord decreed he should get out of it. It wasn't the butler. As the Lord decreed, he had shut up that man. And it's very often we can look to man and think, well, if only this person had spoken, then we would be free. Then we'd be out of this trial. Then we'd be at liberty. But we look past that, and the words of our text, the hand of the Lord hath wrought this. The butler's forgetfulness, and the fact that Joseph then is being kept and reserved for just the right time to be loosed and then to be brought to Pharaoh to interpret Pharaoh's dream and to be next unto Pharaoh. And we see the Lord's hand shutting up a man literally. And we see the Lord's hand in that. We think of the case of Jonah running away from the Lord sending out the wind and the waves after him. And in one sense, the Lord shut up the intention of those mariners. If they could have, they would have rowed hard, they would have got him to land, they would have escaped having to throw him into the sea. The Lord had determined he would go into the sea. And so he must. Really, he was shut up to that. The Lord had determined that he should go into the fish's belly, that he should go through that experience. And no attempts of man were ever going to pluck him out of it or deliver him from that. Sometimes it's a real solemn thought. No, it comes to mind, I'll just relate it. There was a time when I had bought my own home. I suppose I would have been about 28. I'd paid it off then. And I heard that there's a leaflet put in the letterbox about land up the road, and they were selling off an old school, and they were going to auction some lots. Well, I didn't have any money. I'd just paid off the house, but I thought, well, I hadn't got a loan there, I could go and buy an allotment at auction, and I'd build a house and I'd rent that, I'd get money from that, and I'd get another allotment, and I could just see this empire growing. And that was in my heart. You think, how can the Lord's people have a thought like that? And then I thought, don't you touch that. And my mind came to Ahab. Who shall entice Ahab to go down and to fall? I thought, don't touch that. push that leaflet away, but you know that came on my mind so strong. And I ended up going to the bank and trying to work out how much I could get. And I can still, I feel the power I felt on me. I would not blame God, but God, my God warned me. I would fall if I went down that route. I would fall. But I still went down that route. And I'd worked out how much I could go to on that auction. But you know, I went a couple of thousand over it and I got that block. You know, the interest rates over there in Australia at that time was 13%. But I still borrowed it. Borrowed the whole lot. $47,000 worth. That's quite a few years ago. And as soon as I bought it, the interest rates went straight up to 18%. The housing market just dropped. You couldn't give away that land. I was lumped with a loan with that great amount. What could I say? The Lord had determined it. But you know what the Lord did? It was that time. I started going out with my dear wife now over here, and in the process of time to sell the place where I was living. And if I hadn't got that block that would not sell, I could easily, with the exercise I had, could have said, right, no land holding in Australia now, I'm going back to England. But we couldn't, because we got this anchor, this block that would not sell. And we thought we'd never be able to buy another house with that round our neck. And we rented for a year. But you know we did. And we bought a house nearer to the chapel. And as soon as we bought the house, the block sold for $7,000 less than I bought it for. But we were then established again in Australia until the time to be called to the pastorate at Cranbrook. But what the Lord did when it came to go over, the interest, not the interest rates, but the exchange rate was such, though I lost $30,000 on that block of land, I believe the Lord gave me every bit of that back because of the exchange rate and the favoritism coming back over here. But the shutting up, the going into that path and realizing it was appointed, and in a natural way fell, and it was my sin. I didn't take the warning. I should have done. But I really feel, looking back, the Lord had appointed that so that I did not move back here to the UK until his proper time. You know, with the Lord, money is nothing. Money is a means that the Lord will use to teach his people things. Like when I had the allotment for several years at Cranbrook, and I knew it was taking up my time. I knew it was burdening me every Saturday evening. But I didn't listen to conscience. I wanted to keep it going. I used all the excuses. I could go down and meditate. I could think on the Lord while I was working in the garden. But then we had our special services. And there was 200 gathered, more than was usual for the pastor's collection. And I said to my dear one, well, that'll help us go on holiday. Well, the next day I went down to the allotment, it was starting in the season. And I got out the streamer and I started to clean the allotment off. A neighbour came over. She said, you've just sent a stone just straight over the hedge and smashed the window of the conservatory. I went over and I looked at it. And I apologised. I said, give me the phone. I picked up, arranged to get it fixed, £180. That was what the money was for. I went from there down to the council and cancelled the allotment. The Lord knows how to teach us what to do. But in that, I was so humbled. The Lord gave me the money first. And then he taught me the lesson.
provided the means. But those things that he does, we shut up unto them. He chooses that path. He appoints the path. He causes us to walk in it. And you look back, and you look back the steps in it. And you say, this is the Lord's appointing and the Lord's way. And he shut me up into it and hedged up that way so that his work is actually done. And you see mercies in it. Sometimes you might have to wait, like with the allotment, several years before you see the Lord's purpose. But you learn the meaning of Romans 8. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Those contrary things, those things that we think are mistakes, those things that cost us a lot of money, those things at which we feel that we've been a fool, and we may have been a fool, but the Lord turns it about for good. And so Jonah, he runs away, and he must stay in that ship, and they cannot get him to land, and they throw him into the sea. And he must stay in that whale, shut up in the fish's belly, until the Lord commands, until what is done is done. Until he's able to say salvation is of the Lord, and then the Lord speaks to the fish and it vomits him out. When the Lord shuts up a man, we see it with that, then no man delivers him but the Lord. The hand of the Lord hath wrought this. Again and again in Jonah's account, you read, the Lord prepared, the Lord prepared. A man is shut up. You know, we might think, well, we can run away from the Lord's teaching. We can frustrate it. We can escape it. But no, when the Lord determines that he will teach his people, they are like caught in the net, and they shall be taught, and they shall be instructed. We think of how it is in Psalm 107, that again and again they're brought into situations where they fall down and there is none to help. And you think, why do you keep getting into these situations? Why do you keep getting so shut up? You're as in prison and bound and you can't get out. But then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. The hand of the Lord hath wrought this. That's ascribed right through that psalm. And at the end of it, we read, whoso is wise and will observe these things. Job's friends, they're observing creation, and they're observing the Lord's works in many, many ways. But when it comes to the deep paths and affliction and trials and the Lord dealing with teaching his people and instructing them, those are looking on. They're not learning the lessons that are actually being learnt in the fires and in the trials and in the path that is being walked. Those who observe these things, have you got something to observe in your life? The Lord's dealings, the things that he's hedged you up in, shepherded you in, turned your mistakes into a blessing, made there to be some profit where you thought there'd be no profit, brought you into paths that you see, and sometimes we thought that, and I remember I thought that when first in the way, that the Lord's blessings would be literally things where you could say, well, here is some financial gain, some temporal gain, something like that. Until the Lord brought me into one path, and from start to finish of it, there was no temporal gain, no monetary gain, nothing at all. But I saw in it the teaching for my soul. And you know that so softened and humbled me. Thought, Lord, thou hast thought more of my soul than my body, more of eternal things for me than temporal things. And the realization of that just overwhelmed me that that should be so. If the Lord blessed us with everything in this life but did not bless us in our souls, we'd be of all men most miserable. But when you think, well, the Lord is using what I pass through, and he's using even the gold and silver that he's given me, and he's using those things that he has put me into for my spiritual good, for eternal gain, that is really humbling. And to realize that, realize this is my Lord, my Saviour, my Redeemer. This is the hand of the Lord, not just in the temporal, natural way. It's a saving way. Because he's pointing to that which a natural man would say, if this is the Lord, I don't want anything to him. He's not benefiting me in a natural way. But a living soul and a soul that values the soul, and then they will see that as so much more precious and valuable to them. So Jonah was shut up. What about in those spiritual ways? Shut up in unbelief. Or as the Apostle Paul says, shut up unto the faith which afterwards should be revealed. But what are they shut up in? Shut up unto the law. The children of Israel, when they went through the wilderness and they came to Sinai and they were there for a good time, the Lord said, you've continued long enough in this mount. Who determines how long God's people lay under the law and until they are brought into gospel liberty? It is God that determines that. Some of God's children are brought very quickly into gospel liberty. Others are not. The law is a schoolmaster, says the apostle, unto Christ, bought so that we know that by the deeds of the law no man living shall be justified. But until we know that, we're shut up under it. And the Lord was dealing with me, and when I was under the law, I could look from one cover to the other of the word of God, and all I saw was the law. All I saw was condemnation. Wherever I read it, I saw condemnation. Where is the gospel? I could read through the gospels, I'd still find condemnation. Shut up under the law. Then when the Lord was pleased to bless me, opened up the word, and then wherever I read, there was the gospel. There was a ray of hope. There was that shining. I'd never seen that shining before. Now we have it in the revelation to the letters that the Lord Jesus Christ is he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. If we are the people of God, we will prove that. That if the Lord gives darkness, then who can give light? If the Lord gives light, who then can make darkness? If the Lord give trouble, then who can make peace? It is the Lord that is in control. I think we said this morning, my heart will move at thy command. A living soul, it lives upon the Lord. And the Lord is the doer. It was said with Joseph that all that was done there in the prison, Joseph was the doer of it. Well, with the Lord's people, he is the doer of it. Line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they end up being snared, held fast, shut up unto the gospel which shall be revealed. Why was it that for 40 days there could be found no deliverer when Goliath was challenging Israel? Why was Israel so shut up as to hope? They couldn't say, well, forget the whole thing. We just go home. The Philistines were said, we're not forgetting it. We've got the challenge here. You bring forth a man. They couldn't bring forth a man. So why didn't God send David the first day? Why did he wait 40 days? 40 is a time of testing, a trial in the word of God. 40 days the rain rained on the earth. 40 days the Lord was tempted of the devil in the wilderness. 40 days it was from the time that our Lord rose from the dead to the time he ascended up into heaven, a testing, a proof. He was risen indeed. He appeared to the disciples during that time, 40 years wandering in the wilderness, the children of Israel. It is a testing time. Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God hath led thee. Yes, he was a doer of it. These 40 years in the wilderness to try thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst serve the Lord or no. The Lord knows what is in the heart of his people, but he teaches them. And he teaches them their need of grace and mercy and the work of God. That they have a God that will not let them go, will teach them in the way that he shall choose, not which we shall choose, which he shall choose. And so that being shut up under the law, it is the Lord that brings his people into that position, and he will bring them out of that position. One in nature's darkness is not shut up under the law. They're shut up in unbelief, as it were, in darkness, utter darkness. And the Lord breaks that darkness and brings them to see the condemnation they are under. Until he brings into gospel liberty, then they are shut up under that law. May that be a help to some in that position at the moment. You may not see the gospel. You may not see hope or realize that hope, but to just know that in the word of God it speaks of a people that they're not complete unbelievers, they're not dead in sin, they are alive, they have feelings, but they can't move from the position of under the law and under condemnation and in darkness. It is the Lord that appoints that time, and like it was with Joseph, so suddenly brought out. You know, when I was exercised on the ministry, I'd already been exercised for some 6 years or so. My sister in faith, she passed away at 81. I was 25, I was deacon at Melbourne. And because I was exercised on the ministry, I took her funeral, and well, I took funerals, several funerals while I was a deacon, and I preached at that funeral. It's a funeral parlour. And before the service, I was given this envelope. Well, I didn't know what the envelope was, by the undertakers. Anyway, so I took the service, and I had this in my mind, if I'd been faithful, then people would not receive that word. They wouldn't like it. But afterwards they did, and the congregation, they tried to pressure me to continue preaching at Melbourne. And I thought, no, that's, I can't have been faithful for that to be the case. And then when I found out the envelope contained money for preaching, then I thought, you're a Judas and you've betrayed your Lord. And wherever I read in the word of God, a faithful witness delivereth souls, and I got into such darkness and bondage, and the dear friends at Melbourne, they couldn't drag me into the ministry. And you know, that was in 1986, and I wasn't sent out in the ministry until 1993. And all that time I was reading services at Melbourne. And you know, the deacon, he kept asking me, and I said, look, you know I'm exercised, I won't deny it. But I said, I'm in bondage. I cannot. Until the Lord gives me liberty, I cannot. So he said, we're going to have prayer meetings then. And so we used to meet in my home and meet at the chapel to pray that I'd be had at liberty to be able to go and preach. But we couldn't even keep that alive. We couldn't make it work at all. And I felt so low in my soul. In the end, I said to him, I said, look, I said, if the Lord gives me liberty and sets me free, I will come and see you. But Don't keep asking me because I feel so shut up. I can't preach. And you know, one day I was sitting reading in my study, and I read this in Ezra, that the Lord give us a little reviving in our bondage. And I looked at that word, a little reviving. You know, I felt I needed a great reviving. I felt so far off, so hard, so cold, so unspiritual. But a little reviving. And as if my faith could grab hold of that little glimmer of hope. You know, as I meditated upon that, it was just as if heart softened, the bonds broken off, and one text after another started to come up and open up. And you know, I phoned the deacon. I said, the Lord has broken that bondage. And I think actually what happened first, we had the Wednesday evening, and I was to read a sermon of Mr. Ransbottom's. And I said to the friends, I said, before I read this sermon, I'd just like to speak to you for 10 minutes upon this word. And I spoke to them, let thy hand be upon the man at thy right hand, the Son of Man, thou madest strong for thyself. And you know, in speaking, just for those few minutes, and then I read the sermon, but I felt the bondage go. And then I could speak to him. And then it was agreed that I speak from the desk until Robert Field, who had been already engaged a year ago to come over. That was in the August. He was coming over in the November, that he should chair the meetings for me to be sent out. The Lord knew. He knew when I would be let from that bondage. The Lord's servant already was engaged to come over. And the thing was done suddenly. But many, many efforts in those years before, and any opportunity, and the friends just so wanted me to speak, I just could not. When we read here that the Lord shutteth up a man, dear friends, I know it. I know it spiritually. I know it in the exercise of ministry. I know it also with baptism. Some of you may be in that position. But you know the position where you feel that restraint and that shutting up. And you're groaning under it. You long the Lord will set you free, give you liberty, give you joy, give you a difference. We can think of it when we think of Jonah and Joseph. What a contrast that was, to be loose, to be set free. And in a spiritual way, is actually much, much more. And it sets the reality on it. You know, there's been some times the devil has so tempted me. Fancy you going into the ministry. I said, well, if that was my doing, I would still be in bondage. I couldn't have sent myself. I couldn't have gone. I couldn't continue. You know, we need the Lord's work. And the Lord to loose his prisoners. Every one of God's children are a prisoner under the law. Prisoner with Satan. Loose him. Loose him and let him free. What was said by our Lord to those gathering round with Lazarus? That the Lord sets all of his people free. They're not Satan's slaves anymore. They're not shut up on the law anymore. There is such a thing as gospel liberty. And there's a path to it. And very often the path to it is a hard path, a shut up path. A path when you're in the Lord's hand. and the Lord's time and the Lord's way. And if that is yours, may your eyes be up unto the Lord. May you know this, the hand of the Lord hath wrought this. Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he knew something very important. When he had that dream, and he knew he had the dream, but he didn't know what it was. And he not only wanted the interpretation, but he wanted to know who it was. And he said to his wise men, you tell me the dream, and I will know that you can tell me the interpretation thereof. It took as much a revelation from God to show him the dream as the interpretation. It takes as much as God's work to bring a sinner to be guilty under the law as it takes to bring him to be at liberty under the gospel. It takes as much work of the Lord to convince of sin as it is to bring to the full pardon and forgiveness of sin. The Apostle Paul said, I was alive without the law once, but the commandment came, and sin revived, and I died. But that which was, he felt to be unto death, it proved to be unto life. The Lord worked life. What is baptism? Buried with him by baptism into death, but risen again in newness of life. The both parts the Lord does, and how long one knows and is taught the reality of that death is in the Lord's hands. But a soul that's taught that will never say, I just believed in my own free will. I chose the Lord. I worked that work myself. You say what Jonah did. Salvation is of the Lord. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. He set me upon a rock. He established my goings. And all the crown is on the Lord's head. And that soul will know what the Lord has brought them up from and how he's delivered them. You'll know that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this. That's what the Israelites had to know in Egypt, wasn't it? Didn't take one trial, two trials, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. There's still bondage. I think they realised their bondage at the ninth trial more than ever they did at the first one. They might have thought at the first, let there be one of these things come in Egypt and we'll be let go just like that. No, nine. And then not without the shedding of blood, and then they're free. And you think typical Israel will walk that way and you won't. The Lord deals with his people so that they, like Israel, knew they were brought out with a high hand, but they were brought out by the Lord and by the blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission and no liberty and no setting free. The blessings that flow forth from the Lord Jesus Christ in the teaching and experience in the soul of his people because he has died for them and suffered for them. He has purchased them so he may do with them as he please. And what is it said in the scriptures? He will teach them in the way that he shall choose. They shall all be taught of God. And when the Lord begins, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And so that soul that is shut up, and that is shut up now may be, he shutteth up a man and there is no opening, but there is a time of opening. Because with the Lord Jesus Christ, those that he shuts up, he opens, he delivers, he sets free, he He looses them. There is an appointed time to favour Zion. There is a set time. It is the Lord's time. And sometimes it is the Lord. The thing was done suddenly and quickly done, like it was with the children of Israel. They were thrust out of Egypt at that last time. But it is the Lord's time. And dear friends, may you be helped to wait upon the Lord in that. And your eyes be upon the Lord that began the work, the Lord that brought into concern, brought into conviction, the Lord that dealt in providence and dealt in ways that you could not doubt that the Lord's hand was in it. He it is that will perfect that which concerneth you. He will not forsake the work of his own hands. That is a great comfort to his people when they see his hands. Under thy forming hands, O God, give me the frame that thou likest best. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Well, may the Lord bless this word and cause that that praise may rise from some of our hearts here tonight. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach on Thursday evening. The next Lord's Day, Mr. Henry Mercer is not able to come. And at the moment, we expect there will be reading services at 10:30 and 6:00 in the evening. Our closing hymn is 672. Jesus, I long for thee, and sigh for Canaan's shore, thy lovely face to see, and all my warfare o'er. Here billows break upon my breast, and brooding sorrows steal my rest. Hymn 672.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.